And please join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Anthony D. from Oceano. And our next secretary.
You didn't see that. All right, Anthony B. from Oceano, and I am an alcoholic. I want to thank you for allowing me to be the next secretary starting next month. And I want to welcome all the newcomers. I know the feeling coming in. The alcohol has given me three lives. The first life that I had was I grew up, my grandparents died of cirrhosis of the liver, and my parents were from East LA. They were gang members. And so I grew up in that environment, and so we drank a lot, and there was a lot of violence to my mom, and so she was tired of getting beat up from my dad, and so she ended up stabbing him, and then fleeing to Arizona with myself and my two younger sisters, and I was about 5 years old at the time. And then there, she was going to the bar a lot, and so I knew where to find her whenever we got hungry, because it was walking distance. And I grew up in that environment. When I was 11 years old, my mom, she would buy beer for us, 11 and 12 years old, for myself and my sisters and my friends. She said, it's okay that you guys smoked cigarettes and drank as long as you did at the house. So I grew up in that environment until about 14 years old, and she kicked me out of the house. And I went to Tucson, roamed the streets, and I thought I was just a badass. I thought that I'd go out there and live a life like she was proclaiming over my life, saying I'll be just like my dad. So I became a gang member, a drug dealer, and drank a lot. At the age of 16, I had my first son, and I got my first DUI as well. And then at age 17, I got my second DUI. And after that second DUI, the courts waited until I was 18 years old to try me as an adult. And so when they did that, there was a warrant out for my arrest. But at this point, I was sick and tired, being sick and tired. My son's mother, she had left me, and I was alone in a trailer in Tucson. And if you're familiar with monsoon season, it's tremendous. Like, there's torrential rain, and it's really bad. And I remember getting on my knees and saying, God, please help me. I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know. Just please save me. And it was genuine. It wasn't like, oh, please, God, help me. But this was truly from the heart. And I was there, and I remember a light opening over me, over the trailer that I was at, and it was raining on the outside of this light and not raining on the inside. And then I ran to the front, and I'm like, what the heck? It was encircled. So the next day, I was going to go hiking with a friend, and I got pulled over for a simple traffic violation. I had got too close to the vehicle in front of me, and that started the journey of my sobriety. I got pulled over, and I had a warrant out for arrest, so I went to county jail. And then there, I was tried as an adult, because I was already 18 at the time. And I was supposed to be 2 years in penitentiary, but it was more like a DUI, because it was like a Motel 6 converted. And I was able to go out and work at an elementary school and a bus barn and help out and stuff. But this is where Alcoholics Anonymous was introduced to me. People came in and said, hey, there's a new way of living. Also, I was able to form the God that loved me. The God that I knew before was the God that was condemning me because of all being a child who was always getting in trouble in school, got straight F's, and the teachers did want nothing to do with me, so they're like, just send them off. And so I go to the next grade, because no one at home was asking if I did homework. But this God that I have now was a loving God, a God that opened doors wide open for me. So when I got out, I was on intense probation. I didn't have to do the ankle monitor, but I had to tell the probation officer where I was, how long I was going to be there, who am I going to be with, and when I'm going to get back. And then after 5 years, I got married during that time, and I got divorced during that time. And after 5 years, the judge says, you did a good job. Your probation officer said you can, said that you did everything like you're supposed to. And so I said, all right, hallelujah, I'm no longer an alcoholic. And so I went out and I drank for 7 more years. And it says that there are different types of alcoholics. I was the type that thought I could be rehabilitated and I can lose this and I can just pick it back up again. So I got remarried and I drug my family through the mud. I lied about my drinking. I did it all my drinking at night, waited to my ex-wife at the time. She, or not the time, now she's my ex-wife, but my wife at the time, she would go to work. She worked at night, and so I would sleep all the alcohol in, and I can't wait for the weekend to come to pick up all this stuff that I need and get the kids to bed. Everything's nice and quiet, and so start drinking all that I thought 12 packs would be enough, and it happened every single time. Hide the keys, found the keys, go back to the store, get another 12 pack. And so I'm drinking and driving, and I did this over and over, and I would put newspapers in between so there's no clinking, put some cardboard, fold it up, and I did that for years and years, and she loves her Riesling. So when I ran out of that second 12 pack, I would tap into her Riesling and put like tap water and push the cork back in, and just kept lying and lying and lying, and to the point where she couldn't do it anymore, because not only could she see it in my spirit, she sees it in my affect, just the way that she would ask me if I was running because she smelled ketones, you know, that alcohol just seeping from my skin, and she left, and I don't blame her. She left with the kids. I came home to an empty house. I had one of those foam mattresses in the living room and a few cans of beans in the pantry, and I was like, you know what? Screw them. I'm just going to drink more. This was in July, we got divorced. July of 2013. My sobriety date is September of 2013, September 18th. And I knew where the answers were. I knew if I get back to the meeting that there was hope there. So I dug myself there, and I was that guy who was crying, the boogers, the bubbles, and everything. And it was a mess, and but that started my journey. But the thing was, that Tucson had nothing for me. All bad memories of childhood, as a teen, and it was miserable there. So I decided to move to San Luis Obispo in 2014, January. And I've never seen sobriety and people so kind in the place. Like, if you go to LA or up north, like, you know, there's nothing like this place. People are so kind, they welcome you, and you can go to the grocery store and talk to the person right next to you, not strangers, and you, before you know it, you're barbecuing at their house. I just love this place. And I remember going to the Lana Club in San Luis. I was like, these are my people. I was living in my car at the time, and I was like, these are my people. You know, I come in, smell like urine, and I was at a halfway house in San Luis, so I finally got a little phrase there, and I decided, you know, I need to change my life. I need to go all chips in. I can't be a half-ass. I can't be one foot in, one foot out. So I decided to do everything, get a sponsor, work the steps thoroughly, be honest with myself, start loving myself, and this has led me to 8 years now. I'll be 9 years in September. And I cannot believe it. This is like amazing for me. And I dropped out of my freshman year because I was too cool for school. I got F. They even put me in like special ed classes. They thought it was like I had some special ed problems. But today, God has opened so many doors for me. God is, through the steps, God is in this book. This book is so divine. If you read it and read it over, you're going to get something new because it's going to speak to your spirit. It spoke to my spirit. But now I'm working on my doctorate degree in education. So I'm 7 months away from completing a doctorate degree in education. I live in the most beautiful place. I live in Oceano, 2 miles from the beach. If you just keep pushing and pushing and don't give up. I'm going to read something really quick because this is doctrine right here. If you feel like drinking, it's on page 450. So when you get back home, highlight this. 450, I have to highlight it. I tell all my sponsors this. It says, then I realized that I had to separate my sobriety from everything else that was going on in my life. No matter what happened or didn't happen, I couldn't drink. In fact, none of these things had anything to do with what was going through, or, in fact, none of these things that I was going through had anything to do with my sobriety. The tides of life flow endlessly for better or worse, both good and bad, and I cannot allow my sobriety to become dependent on the ups and downs of living. Sobriety must live a life of its own. More importantly, I came to believe that I cannot do this alone. And I truly believe every single word in that paragraph. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have sponsees. And I live this life. I'm in service. I go to 5 meetings a week. I practice self-care, and that's the most important thing for me because I didn't care about myself. I ran myself to the ground. I was drinking and just beating myself up every single day. And but today, I go to the gym, I surf, I do all the things that I ever wanted to do. I live by the beach, and I live by this program. And this program has given me so much. So I want to thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you.
Another big round of applause for Anthony.